Welcome to Longview Baptist Church. Where will you spend your eternity? This is a question that does have an answer, even if you don't know what it is. I am Pastor John. This ministry is designed to prepare you for that day we will all face, our last. Join us as we find an answer to the tough questions, and remember, you cannot truly live until you're truly ready to die.
Of course, part of a bigger story here in John chapter 8. And in this story, it's basically, there's a title in these verses really go with truth and freedom. And it's, you know, Jesus is talking to disciples. He's ministering to people. There's people sick. He's referring back to Abraham. The disciples are having this interaction with him. And it's really interesting because he deals with this issue that is one I think that we fail. It's so easy to just water down Christianity to this experience of praying a prayer, of being baptized, and then in many cases we see people just go live the rest of their life, never having any passion for the Lord, never serving the Lord, never honoring the Lord. But everybody will always, in themselves at times, will point back, oh, well, you remember that time 35 years ago that I prayed, I got baptized, so I'm just glad I got things taken care of. This actually talks about the reality of Matthew 7, and it deals with it in a different perspective, a different picture, because what it basically is talking about is contending for the faith. The Bible talks about many people join a race, they start a race, don't they? But how do you win a race? By starting it? Finishing it. You must cross the finish line. Matthew 7, again. Just because you say, Lord, Lord, what does that mean? Just because you say, yes, there's a God, Jesus died for me on the cross, and he'll come on that day. Did we not cast out demons and heal the sick and raise the dead? He'll tell them plainly, depart from me, I never knew you. Broad is the road, leads to destruction. Narrow is the road that leads to life. I will assure you, if you step back and do what Paul says, to examine yourselves to see that you're in the faith, you are going to not only point to a transformative work of God that was begun. Does that mean you woke up and had some speaking in tongues type experience and you shouted and glory and fire felt? No. It's many times the birth as a follower of Christ is so different in people. But I can tell you what you can do. You can always point to what you were versus who you are. You'll always be able to point to the work of God, even if sometimes at periods it's ever so slowly, and at times it might even be, in a sense, going backwards. You may be struggling and battling, but you will look back and you will see that you have been growing, you have been running, you have been progressing. I encourage all of us to do that. Well, Brother Jonathan, does that mean we're looking at works? Is that, no, we're looking at fruit. We're not looking at works. The works that you should be, I should be doing are not even the works that we're doing because we think that's the right thing to do. Scripture says they're the works that he prepared for us in advance. So merely what we're doing is carrying out the will of the Father. They're not our works. That's why we can't get an attaboy for what we're doing, because it just drives me insane. A very close city to where I live, every time I drive through it, I see a monument to a person on a church that their name is on it. And it breaks my heart, because every time I see it, I say, I don't know who the person was, I don't know anything about her life, but I say, you got all the glory you'll ever get, lady. That's what I say. And it makes me sad for her, because she fell victim, and the people in the church fell victim to human worship, in a sense. Look what she did. Look what he did. Look what they did. No, look what he did. That's what matters, because it is not I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Amen? It's wonderful to acknowledge how God uses us over the years. Meaning, wow, God in a mighty way did this, and he's used these brothers and sisters who've been obedient, but the focus is not to give glory unto them, but to point others to obedience and growth to serve in the kingdom, which is the kingdom of now. We are serving in the kingdom of now in preparation for the eternal presence of King Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, which makes us able to enter the presence of God Almighty. That is what this is all about. It's sharing the good news. It is literally being a lighthouse to share the good news of the gospel with others so that they might know Christ, know him, and make him known. Because in him we live, move, and have our being. The very reason we breathe tonight is to bring glory and honor to the God of all creation. If there's any other reason for your being tonight, you're not living out your created purpose, and right now you are not continuing on. I want to dispel religion tonight and tell you, religion is deadly. Relationships with Jesus Christ are where followers of Christ enter a relationship with the God of creation to focus them on glorifying him. We're not continually pointing back and saying, hey, we're going to meditate on the death of Christ. Christ died that death may be put away, so that we would focus on life, the life-giving truth of the gospel, which the death of Christ put away death for us so that we might live. So we focus on our relationship with the Lord. We revel in the love of Christ in the picture of what Jesus is, but we don't wear crucifixes around our necks, do we, church? No. We serve a risen Savior. If anything, get a picture of an open tomb that you can make into an ornament. Amen? And say, hey, the tomb is empty. Jesus Christ is risen today. As the old hymn says, Alleluia. I hope you found John chapter 8 tonight. Again, the title of the message is Continue On. And if you're able physically, let's stand out of reverence for the reading of God's word, verse 31 and 32. Then Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, if you continue in my word, you really are my disciples. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Father, thank you for this privilege we have tonight to read your word, Father, to meditate on it. God, lay bare any areas of our life that need laid bare. Father, bring any areas of darkness in our life that need repented of. God, bring any areas of our life into complete obedience so that we might experience the blessing of walking in close fellowship with you. God forbid, Lord, tonight that we might be deceived, that we might not think in any sense that walking with you is about a few words that are spoken, missing the relationship and the life lived for you, which is the real work. The real relationship and truly fellowshipping with you. God, hide me behind the cross tonight. Speak to hearts all over the globe. And we ask all this in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who made possible the restored fellowship with you as the Father. And we ask this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So verse 31 again. Part of it. Okay. Then Jesus says to the Jews who believed him, okay, now listen, remember you red letter people, listen close. There's some red letters. All of it. But some of y'all turn the volume way up. You turn it up. If you continue in my word, you are really my disciples. We'll stop there. And first thing I want to share with you tonight is this. Those who endure to the end are true disciples. Well, Brother Jonathan, I thought now, if I prayed a prayer, and you know, that's really what it, and I got baptized, that's all it means to be a follower of Christ. Wait a minute, we just saw red letters now. We look at red letters, it says, if you continue in my word. Now, what does the continuance mean? Is something that continues. It doesn't say to be continued. It says he who continues. That means it is a progressive work that is continuing until something occurs. And we see in that that it's a finish line. When you continue, you contend. That means you go on. Doesn't mean that you make some words. The reality, I call it getting saved and bathed and then never do anything. It's not what it's about. Jesus didn't die so we can continue to live like the devil and be a great source of darkness. reflecting not the truth, but deflecting the truth. No, God made us to be reflectors, agents of the kingdom of heaven, objects that are no longer of his wrath, been transformed by the renewing of your mind to live out his purpose, plan, and will. Let me tell you, there's been a few times in the last year when I've been in agony. I shared with you the last one, which was right before all this happened, after I'd had this, and how it was pure, absolute, physical misery. I mean, misery on a level that you cannot imagine. Misery. And I remember as I sat there, and I shared this a little, I'm going to share it in case you weren't here. I was sitting there as I was in this pure agony, and I thought, this only one part of my body, and that was affecting everything, including making me have a headache. But this was only one part of my body. And I sat there and I thought, now let me tell you something. I'll just be perfectly candid with you. If every part of my body felt like that, it would take me probably about 4 minutes to make it out to my car. And the scripture says he'd be no more. There is, apart from a divine work of God, no way physically possible that I could have lived in that state that I was in if that was a total body feeling, because of the absolute intense horror with which the pain consumed me to the level that it was as my finger was dying. There's no words for it. But then I got to thinking about something rather quickly. Now, not only is hell eternal, not only was there some kind of hope for me, one would have been that it had been a systemic failure of my organs because of the infection that was all through my body. No problem. That's over. Or there was a hope that there eventually someone that was competent was going to do what should be done to remedy the issue. Took a lot longer than it was supposed to, but that ultimately happened. But see, I had this hope that something good was going to ultimately come out of this, whether it was me dead or whether it was getting fixed. Something was going to happen, but see, there is no hope in hell. And not only do you stay in complete agony, see, I had lights and I had people around me. I had things to occupy my mind in a sense and try to in some way distract it from what was going on. See, there's none of that in hell. It is only, by the way, there's no morning, there's no night, there's no afternoon. It is the continual presence of unspeakable agony where God has merely given man his gift of the choice he made of removing himself or herself from every good and perfect gift that comes, what? From above, from the Father of lights, from the Lord of love that doesn't change like shifting shadows. That is what the place we know as hell is. It's not God's little place where God just says, oh, you've been a bad boy, so I'm just going to punish you for no reason. God gives man free will. We have the ability to dwell in his presence when you have a feeling of euphoria and hope and love and joy and peace. The feeling of a new tomorrow being a wonderful thing. When you breathe in and your lungs work effectively, you have hope that you are going to be able to feel remotely well. When you get up and walk, when you eat, all these different feelings release chemicals in your own body that invoke feelings of well-being or euphoria in some cases. One of those is dopamine. It's a thing in your brain. And there's amazing serotonin. There's some really good chemicals in the human body. God has really blown us all away in his creative genius and what he has made in the human body that makes us many times see people who suffer from lack of that. And a lot of times, people that suffer from either an imbalance in their serotonin, and some people suffer from not having it, they have severe depression, feel terrible, and waves of depression. Some of it is paralyzing. See, remember, in hell, there's no more serotonin. There's no more dopamine. There's none of the pleasure effects of anything because there is no longer any pleasure. See, what this is dealing with here is if you continue in my word, you really are my disciples. A real disciple runs the race, completes the race, finishes the race. Someone who is a fan never was in the race in the first place. If anything, they ran a good half mile, believing they had been sufficiently versed in their part of the race, and then get back out and continue to say that they are in the race. No, there is only obedience that leads to finishing the race. Why would Christ save us to live a life of idle spiritual service, sacrifice, and fellowship? Why? It makes no sense, does it? God has called us to the blessing of the body of Christ, to encourage one another, challenge one another, to come to this huddle that we have on Wednesdays and Sundays. And this is the time with which we recharge, we get encouraged. It's in a sense like a huddle with a football team, and then we go out and the plays spiritually, meaning be a lighthouse, peace, hope, spur one another on to love and good deeds, as Hebrews 10:25 says, and not forsaking the assembly. Spur one another, stir one another on to love and good deeds as we see the day approaching. The day, what's the day? The day that Christ comes back, the day that we die. Nobody gets out alive. That's the guarantee, amen? And the way they're doing the taxes now, friends, they're going to get all of it when you get done, amen? Owe me, they're coming after it. I've watched the new tax laws, if you know anything about them. They're going to get more and more of them, aren't they, Barbara? Yes, they are. So that's the one guarantee you have. You're going to die. You're going to pay taxes. And if not, they're going to get it eventually. Trust me. Now they're doing all the digital. They're watching all these things. Things are changing. It's really wild how it's lining up with the Word and what the Word said would happen in end times. Amen? Don't think that digital currency is going to make it where you cannot buy nor sell unless you... Whoa, that never happened. That's just that Christian talk of trying to control you because you're weak-minded and, oh, just keep saying it, keep believing it. You're going to watch God's word come to fruition. And just like it said, they'll say, where is he? Why didn't he come back? You're going to mock. He talked about that. We're seeing it now. We're seeing it. But let me tell you what I know. Tonight I know that there's only one thing I can do, and that's to continue on. To defend and contend for the faith that was entrusted to me and the faith that was entrusted to you. Because there is a real hell tonight, and I'm not just, see, I'm a follower of Christ who's serving, honoring, and glorifying Christ. I hope you are, so it's not an issue for you in that realm. You're not running to keep running, so I just don't want to go to hell. No, you want to live and serve the Father because of this amazing gift that he has given us freely, this gift of salvation, this righteousness that was imputed, which was given to us through his suffering, his sacrifice, his redemption, his resurrection. That's tonight, I hope, the thing that compels you to be obedient and to do your part in the kingdom work. How could we not do it? That's what my question is. How could we not want someone, unless you do not believe there's a real hell, there's not a real heaven, and this is the end, would be the only reason that any sane individual would stay silent about this, or you are a deeply demented and cruel individual that desires, because of your timidness or whatever the excuse is, never to share with that person in front of you that needs to hear, that may not know. That would be the only things I would think that would hinder it. But see, I don't believe y'all like that. I hope not. If you are, let me know. I'll keep my distance. Because people like that are dangerous. People that don't care to share Christ with someone because it's not their job. It's dangerous. Because that person is saying, you're not worth the gift of eternal life. Because it might be awkward for me. Tell me somebody, what if that happened to you? What if somebody would have not wanted to share Christ with you and you wouldn't be here tonight? You would be headed for a devil's hell because no one cared enough to share with you that Jesus died for you, Jesus loves you, and tonight his desire is to save you if you were lost. What if you tonight are dying and headed to a devil's hell because no one cared enough to tell you? How would you feel knowing just the thought of that? I'd feel pretty broken and pretty brokenhearted. Remember, I wouldn't know it. Would that change the reality of what would happen in death? So last night I woke up and I have trouble with my muscles. I have a lot of trouble with my muscles because my back's really screwed up. It's still screwed up. And I have troubles with muscle spasms a lot of times. And they're really bad ones in my back and in my legs. It's one of the reasons that I go to bed so early, but I have to take one of my medicines at night. It helps relax my muscles, and that's why I go to bed early, so that my muscles can relax, because when I get up, the pain in my back is consistent, it's constant. I feel like I'm in acid from here down all the time. Sometimes it's a real lightly boiling or real warm acid, and then the more progresses and the redder you see me, the hotter the acid gets that I feel like I'm in. So last night, though, I forgot to take that, so I woke up about 11:30 last night. I was having a hard time waking up because I was rolling back and forth because the muscles tightened up so tight in my back that they continued to tighten up because I didn't until I finally woke up, and then I took the medicine I should have taken at 6:30. But the problem is 30 minutes later, I'm still laying there with the same feeling. It had gotten so bad that I couldn't get them to let go. And I had to take another one, and it was about 20 or 30 minutes after that that finally they relaxed enough to allow my back to stop spasming and grabbing me. Now, as I thought about that, I then began to dwell, as I was sitting there thinking about how bad these cramps in my legs and my back muscles were tightened so tight, I began to think about adding this. And see what I'm saying? I couldn't even imagine what the horror of hell is going to be. Again, I'm just talking about two small things. You think, well, that's big. No, it's not. You haven't thought about yet of the continual ability not to breathe in a place that has no oxygen, so you're in a continual state of choking and vomiting. But remember, there's no water. You have no fluid in your body. Remember, water is a gift from God. You're in a body that can't die, that has no moisture, that is choking because, remember, it's burning sulfur, so you're in a place that does not make life habitable. But you just happen to be in the thing that God promised all of us, which was one day we're going to have a glorified body that wouldn't die. Church, let me tell you something. The call we have to be disciples is louder than ever. Not just because we don't one day want to go there ourselves, which, unless you're insane, I don't think there's anybody in here on your worst day that would say, yeah, I just want to go to hell, unless you're a fool. Scripture calls you that, if you would desire that. But more importantly, because that has been settled if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, how about that person in your life that you know right now that if they breathe their last breath, see, I don't know if you guys know, his name is Ken Block. Andrew and I know about him, some of you guys do. He's a racer. I watch him. I really enjoy him. Matter of fact, two of the ladies at the house last week, I was like, hey, let me show you. This guy's incredible. He just reminds me of a me that is uber rich and is able to do things and buy cars that I would never be able to buy and do things that I would do if I was uber rich. And so I've kind of vicariously these things he does. He is an extremely talented guy. Now, it was interesting because as they were watching that, I don't know if it's the end of one of them, I stopped and I just said, let me tell you, the amount of risk this man puts his life in, I'm going to promise you, you can't do this. The odds, you just can't do this like he does it for the period of time he does and something ultimately not happen. I know this because I lived this life. I know, but see, he lived it on steroids, meaning he was able to do so much more than I ever could dreamed of doing. And I said, you'll see one day what I'm talking about. If he doesn't retire, you can't live at this level of adrenaline-fueled frenzy. It's fun. But, brothers and sisters, it's like playing a lottery, or a lottery slot machine. Monday morning, I think it was, he was killed riding a snowmobile on his property in Utah. He was coming up a ridge, steep slope, went backwards, it landed on him and it killed him, 55 years old. I didn't mean to say what I said last week. I don't believe in love, I don't believe in Kurt Hex, I don't believe in all that stuff. But what I'm saying is, brothers and sisters, is there's a real end to our lives one day, whether it happens today, tomorrow, next week, next month, next year, whether we have a deathbed thing, whether it's something tragic as we've experienced and as that family now has experienced, we don't get to pick that. But what we do know is there is an end to our lives. All of us in here right now already have that date stamped. We just can't see it yet. So my question to you tonight is, are you continuing on with what is real, what is true, what is just, what is holy, what is righteous, the thing that will stand the test of time and eternity? Is that the essence of your life? I don't care who you knew. I don't care how much money your family had. I don't care how popular your mother, father, grandmother, kid, wife, you, your children, grand. I don't care anything about any of that. You know why? Because, see, that doesn't matter in the grand scheme of things. It doesn't matter how much influence that you had in this life. Because there's no one that leaves this life, stands in the presence of the Lord God Almighty, and says, "Hey, Lord, don't you remember who I am?" There's no more backdoor access, as you see in Hollywood with the stars going to department stores. They have special rooms, I don't know if you know this, in the very high-end department stores for people who are super wealthy. They have certain cards that they're given from credit card companies that have no limit. They can buy anything they want to, and when they shop in these rooms, they do it in absolute privacy, buying some things that we can't even buy. Made for them. The cards they have, we can't get. Doesn't change anything. And whenever they breathe their last breath, you heard me say this statement, I say it again, you're square with the house. Meaning, doesn't matter what you have at that time, you stand on even ground spiritually. So what matters at that moment is what they did with Jesus Christ as Lord, and whether you were so broke, you die with nothing. You stand at the same footing they do in death. The question begs then, ready? This is one question. And this is your whole entire life is summed up with this. What did you do with Christ? Six words. What did you do with Christ? Six words. Will be the question of all time and eternity in death one day. What did you do with Christ? Was Christ a talisman to you? Were you a talisman? Back in the early 80s, it bled over from the 70s. I had some used ones. I had those rabbit's feet, lucky rabbit's foot, nasty. You could feel their joints and everything in their toenails. They called them lucky rabbit's foot. They'd cut those poor rabbit's feet off, and I don't know what they did. They petrified them, freeze-dried them, whatever they did, put them on a key ring. Everybody had a lucky rabbit's foot on a key ring. Didn't get you nothing. Imagine if you had the whole leg. You'd been a whole lot more better, right? A whole lot luckier. I'd actually have gone back that. I'd have done that as a kid if I'd even had the ability to do it. I'd have walked around the whole. I said, "You think you're lucky? Look at me." You didn't get any luck with that. Same way that some person that takes $100 from you and reads your palm, they don't tell you nothing about your palm. The God of all creation is your yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Tonight, what are you doing with the gift that's been entrusted to you? The second thing I want to share with you is out of the first part of verse 32. You will know the truth. Question tonight is, do you know the truth? Do you know the truth? It's interesting now I'm finding more people, and I'm not even talking about here. I've been out and around for the last 2 months with a whole lot of different people, with a whole lot of different viewpoints and various things. I've found out there's a whole lot of people that don't want to hear the truth. When you start talking about the truth, they start talking about, well, you know, hey, you know, I don't believe that. I don't believe. I believe God's that. I believe. Well, I know. I know. Why do I know? Because I know what His Word says. I don't care what you want to believe. You believe anything you want to. You can believe that I'm a smoke screen or a smoke blower up here, and I'm blowing a bunch of smoke, and you think nothing that I'm saying has any bearing. You can do that all day long. I can tell you what's happened through history. People have walked off and stood before the God of creation as they shook their fist at man and told him to take a flying leap, only to stand before the Lord and fall face down and proclaim Christ Jesus as Lord. Doesn't matter who they were. Doesn't matter. Madeline Mary O'Hare, August, if I remember correctly, of 1995, when she was killed by her own followers. Remember the atheistic, huh? the, the National Atheist Society that she established or was part of establishing. Hated everything to do with Christ, cursed them. Boy, some of the foulest language that you could ever hear in your life. She was literally a walking, vile demonstration of everything that was anti-truth, hope, joy, peace. It's so amazing because I remember as a child hearing my dad or mom say, my dad, there's no honor among thieves. And, you know, as a kid, it's hard to understand that. And boy, did I ever recognize that and fully see that cemented in August of 95. When Madeline Mary O'Hara was killed. And as a matter of fact, if I remember correctly, one of her granddaughters was, I think, another one of their, by the way, you know what one of her children is today? A sold-out follower to Jesus Christ, a son. He might have been, if I remember, one of the younger sons. I'm talking about bananas for Jesus. Hardcore follower of Christ. God be the glory for that. But it breaks my heart because whether Madeline Mary O'Hare liked it or not, the moment she stood in the presence of King Jesus, she proclaimed him as Lord. We know what Scripture says. You don't have to believe it. You don't have to. You don't have to believe that contending for the faith is important. You don't have to believe that you think I take it too serious and I'm too serious about this God. You can say anything you want to say. You can go out and mock me. Been done before. You can get on Facebook, say I'm a charlatan, I'm a heretic, I'm a this or a that or the other. It's happened before, it'll happen again. You know what I'm going to do? Just going to keep proclaiming truth because, see, truth is the only thing that'll stand the test of time. All of the rest of this is passing away, church. It's passing away. But see, truth will never pass away. As a matter of fact, as I finished up Revelation in my reading the Bible through last year, if you did, you remember the words, didn't it? Not one of the words of this will fail to come to being. All of them will. Going to be none of those words that were just idle words that were spoken in God's Word. And he said those, but he didn't mean it. He was just kidding. None of them. They're all going to come to fruition just like he said. So are you going to live tonight like you believe that? Or are we going to be asleep in the light? Are you going to be asleep in the light, soaking up all the blessings and the good? Not caring anything about the people next to you that are dying and headed for a devil's hell. The only way you could do that, I believe, without truly having a seared conscience is to not believe it's real. Maybe tonight God laid this message in my heart because you need to get serious about this thing that you claim to believe in and this Savior you claim to have died to and this God you claim to be reconciled with through the gift of Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. And then in the last part, 32b, and we close. We'll know the truth. Ready? And the truth will set you free. Third and final thing tonight, the truth will set you free. Easy enough. The truth will set you free. Free to what? Live God's plan. Live God's purpose. Magnify the glory of God. So you think you have next month, next year. I don't know if you're like myself. How many people in the Shelbyville obituaries alone in the last week, you're going, good gracious, look how young they were. Remember, we are not even a microcosm of what's out there. We are just a small blip in the massive world that we live in. And what I know tonight, brothers and sisters, is that there's a real heaven, there's a real hell, but there's a real Savior tonight that died for us, that loves us, that desires to fellowship with you. And that God tonight desires you to not just start into that race until you get leg cramps and then sit down on the sidelines and don't get, but no, this God calls you to run the race to completion. Are you running tonight? Or maybe you've been sitting on the sidelines and you realize that you've gotten complacent and apathetic and the only thing you've been running to is the refrigerator spiritually. And you've been feasting on self and self-indulgence. And the last thing you've been doing is abiding in the vine, soaking up the water of truth and the word of truth. But I want to challenge you tonight, if that's the case, get back in the race. How do you do that? By first recognizing for the sin it is. When we know what to do and we do not do it, the Scripture says that is sin. So if you realize tonight that things aren't right in your life, go, Brother Jonathan, I need to tell you about what I did. Really? Well, wait a second. First of all, you don't have nothing to tell me. You need to tell the one that you've defied, and that's God. If you're more worried about what I think about what your actions are, you better be much more concerned about the one that I don't know half of the things that you might be concerned about. Oh, I don't want the preacher to find out. Don't worry about me. I'm not God. I'm not your dad. My kids are, but you're not my child. Worry about the one that knows your heart. When you lay in bed and have no desire to read God's Word, no desire to fellowship with Him, no desire to spend time in His Word, you might want to talk to Him. You know why? Because He's the one that you're defying tonight. He's the one that sent His Son to die for you. I lost a child. My child was a sinner. My child wasn't a perfect child of the Lord. I know what I would have done to protect anything to do. Imagine the God of creation that let His Son die in our place, and He had no sin, who became sin for us. What greater reason to want to live for the Lord, to want to serve Him, and to want to honor Him. It was a great price paid for us. Tonight we can get in the race, back in the race, and continue on in the race, because there is not only a prize, but there's so many people around us that need to see you running, serving, honoring, and glorifying the Lord. Because the demonstration of us living for Him is such a picture, especially to the young ones around us that are wondering all about this thing. And I know for a fact that all around us, there's, I call it forces working in opposite ways and trying to pull them in opposite directions. There's a big push right now in young people to find, you ready? Their own truth. It reminds me a lot of the Stairway Movement. If you all in the 70s know what I'm talking about, anybody know called the Stairway Movement? A couple of you, okay. The Stairway Movement was all about finding, it almost in a sense was like the Baha'i Faith, you know, everything leads to the light. You got to find your truth. And find your truth. I said to a young person recently, see, there's nothing about finding your truth. There is the truth. That's the only truth. So you can go out and try to find a truth, but if you're honest and you're truly seeking, you will find yourself back at the truth. Because there's no such thing as one of the truths. There is the exclusivity of the one who died in our place, the undisputed one who rose from the grave. You can go visit the graves of all these other quote-unquote prophets and all these quote-unquote leaders. You can't find the grave that contains the Son of God because He conquered hell and death. The Romans would have made sure beyond a shadow of a doubt that we could go there today and see His body if Jesus Christ had not risen from the grave. I pray tonight that you get serious about the God who's been serious and is serious about you tonight. He loves you. He cares about you, and His desire is to transform you, to grow you, and to use you to share that hope, share that truth, share the good news of the gospel, to continue on and run it faithfully till the day that we breathe our final breath. Let's pray. Father, thank You tonight, God, for truth, Lord. Though it's not my truth, it's not our truth, Lord.
Thank you for joining us today. We pray that God's word has encouraged you. You feel like you've had fellowship and been at home with family. Today, if God has moved in your heart, and today you would like to make Him not only the Savior, but the Lord of your life, first, it's important to know that we are sinners. We're born sinners. No one can bridge the gap that was separated when sin broke what God had created so beautifully. If today you know you're a sinner in need of a Savior, and you know that Jesus Christ was born, lived a sinless life, and died on the cross to pay for your sin. Today, if you want to, you can trust Him as your Lord and Savior. It requires you to pray and in faith, ask Him to save you, to forgive you of your sins, to cleanse you, and you want to live for Him. I pray today if you do that, that you will reach out to us. We would love to get you connected in a church body, a church home, wherever that might be, and get discipleship around you so you can grow in this new life that you found in Christ. Read God's word. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. God bless you.